Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
I can have hope in a hurtful world. I can have hope. I have it in a living, triune God.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we begin our in-depth look at the book of 1 Peter, Pastor shares with us a message based on the opening verses of chapter 1, helping us to realize how we can be hope-filled in a hurtful world.
This is the second of 12 messages that we'll be looking at out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, again, is one of those general epistles that we are looking at as we've emphasize the area of making a difference in our world. I'd like to, if I may, with you, just do an overview or survey of this, because it'll help us to know that even for unsaved people, there's a big difference between their status and our status as people that are born again or know God. The reality is, the unsaved person, as one author states, is without hope. But the believer does have a, notice verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, a living hope. And it's not just a living hope because he's the living Savior, but he's also our lasting hope. He's the one that becomes that hope that we have and is found in Christ. But it's not only the hope is reserved for us, but the believer too is kept, it's guarded by that hope in Christ. Jot this outline down. I think it'd be just as a look ahead for the outline of the letter. He deals with four areas, pretty basic. They're elementary, but they're essential. He talks about the salvation of the believer, and we'll be looking at this in the next weeks ahead. He talks about very quickly and starts with it in chapter 1, the sanctification of the believer. Then he talks about the submission in chapter 2, 13. And who we submit to, and then ultimately talks about the suffering of the believer. It doesn't sound really exciting in the sense of being hope-filled, but it is. With that being understood, he gets to the opening of the whole letter, the audience of the letter, then he gets the opening. And this is the opening. This is what he says to them. What would you say to people if they are under pressure? What do you say to people if they're under pressure? Where Peter goes immediately with this, he calls them, notice verse 2, elect. In other words, we're God's chosen. We're God's choice. And he goes immediately to Peter giving us doctrinal footings to secure the Christian in a very rattled world. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you're strangers in relationship to the earth, but you're elect in relationship to heaven. They are God's chosen people in that he had called them and they had responded. And it's an awesome thought to realize this is what Peter gives to them and indicating to them that God loves you enough that he chose you. And all the events going on, he knows about them. Don't get shook about them and rattled with all the events going on. It's going to be okay. God elected you. He chose you. And to expand that, he identifies three phrases that really are meant to be a footing in a very shaken world. And these are the three phrases that he uses to expand that idea of those being elect. Notice in your Bible, the foreknowledge of who? God the Father. That's the first phrase. He says, through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the second phrase. And unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the third phrase. Now, do you notice three particular names in there? He says God is a what? Now, why would he use the term father? Knowing that some people didn't have a father that Peter was writing to because they were killed. Oh, you have a father still. It's okay. You have a dad. And you have the Holy Spirit. And he also mentions who? Jesus Christ. It's the awesomeness of the truth of the Trinity to realize that we can pray to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. Jot down Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians, I think it's a great reference point. Ephesians 2:18. This is how Paul said it. For through him we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. He says it again in 2 Corinthians 3:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. He says it again in John 14, verses 16 and 18. I, Christ, will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It was initiated by the Father, salvation, that hope, initiated by him. It was planned by the Heavenly Father. But it was inspired by the Spirit of God. It was preserved. Notice the term, sanctified by the Spirit. You're set apart by the Spirit of God. But Jesus Christ's part he played in this, he implemented it. It was purchased by the sprinkling of his blood. Did you get that? That's awesome. And so when Peter now is talking to these people, he's getting them into a place to realize that you have an awesome God that has not decided to explain himself on every point to us as finite believers and his children. So you know what that puts us in? I've got to trust. And this is why when you look at this whole passage, and particularly in 1 Peter 1, when he finishes this simple introductory statement, when he mentions that, then he says, look at your Bibles, into verse 2, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Let me sum up the survey, okay? Number one, I can be secure in a doubting world. This is what Peter's going to say, and you're going to hear throughout the next weeks to come as we're looking at 1 Peter. Number one, I can be secure in a doubting world. This world is doubting what's going on. They don't know what's happening in Peter's day. They were so unsettled about Roman and the Roman government and all the mistrust of authority above them. They didn't believe any of them. And if you vocalized it, you were dead. Here's Christians now who are living in that world, and Peter's just saying, you know what, listen, you can be secure. Don't be fearful. Number two, I can have hope in a hurtful world. I can have hope. I have it in a living triune God. And he, before the foundation of the world, planned all of this, and he knew all of this was going to take place. And he's not taken by surprise, because ultimately, we're going to all end up being in a better place called heaven. Awesome. It's awesome. It was the lively hope because really God's heaven is like his living room. Revelation 4, talk about it tonight. You got living creatures, unbelievable. Living Christians there, a living Christ. This is where God lives. And you and I as believers get to go there on top of all of this. Woo-hoo! There is less said about what is in heaven than what's not in heaven. And I'm going to tell you why, because I think if we knew everything that was there, most of us wouldn't want to stay here. We'd be so stinking discontent. That's bad. You shouldn't say that. That you would be so discontent about living here because you knew everything going on up there. He gave you just enough. Let me pull the curtain back a little bit. Let me show you into my throne room just to let you know you're living at your worst. Hoping for the best. And as a world, they're living at their best and have the worst to look forward to. All roads lead to hell except for one, Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful, number three, that you can understand I can be doctrinally strong in a morally weak world. And when you're going to encourage people, don't come alongside and give them a back rub and say, you're good, you really are good. Well, they might be good and they might need a back rub, but you better give them something from Scripture to anchor them into truth to realize whatever event's going on, that difficulty at work or the loss of your job or the loss of a child or a maid or the difficulties at home or whatever it may be, that the triune God can be trusted. Can you? You see, grace is what God gives to the humble. That's what God gives to the humble. He said in 1 Peter 4. But the reality is peace is what comes as a result of that humbling. Peter, so wisely, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, says, listen, this grace, humble yourselves. He will end up getting you through. And the result of that will end up being peace. God uses suffering, pressure, and even certain death in some occasions to unbolt us from this alluring world and to set our minds on what lies ahead. Whatever problem you have, whatever difficulty you have, it just might be God's way of unbolting you from your own human desire to be secure. The ancient businessmen often wrote the words "momento mori" in Latin to mean "think of death." And they put it in large letters on the very first page of all their accounting books. They're trying to remind businessmen, listen, life is brief, death is sure, and these world's wealth is fleeting. Even Philip of Macedon, who is the father of Alexander the Great, and the name Philippi comes from his own name, commissioned a servant to stand in his presence every day and tell him, Philip, you will die. And sure enough, it happened in 336 BC. He was assassinated. There's others that didn't want any of that to be said. Louis XIV of France, he cleared the word death, and it was not to be uttered in his presence at all. But the fact is, it didn't change the fact of death. And he died in 1715, the age of 76. You see, the death rate is 100%. And the reality is that those roads that are all leading are only leading one to heaven. You see, many times I've mentioned before, there are people that spend more time planning a trip to the States than they plan their eternal destiny. There is not multiple roads to heaven, no matter what you hear by whoever you hear. God says, through Jesus Christ, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. And it has everything to do with your view of who Jesus Christ really is. I'm so thankful that when the stakes are that high, involving the choice between heaven and hell, it'll cause us to appreciate as Christians heaven in a greater way. And for us to be motivated to be able to encourage other people, do you have that answer? You might be listening saying, you know what, I'm unsettled about it. Today's the day you need to get it settled. You need to get it figured out. And it is so clear, he wrote it in Scripture, it has not changed. You might be under great strain and great difficulties. It might be that God's trying to unbolt you from your own security of who you are and put your trust and confidence in Christ. And if you have done that, he might be, as a child of God, using this to chasten you or correct you or give you great comfort, to race to the Holy Spirit of God, who's given you the ability to live through Christ.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time on Monday for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.